Redline.
Welcome to Radio VR and its weekend program Redline with me, Julia Lubova.
And Sergei Strokan.
Gaza-Israel war and ceasefire. Israel intensified its strikes on Gaza after Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu hinted he would not suspend military operation against Hamas fighters. By the end of the week, the sides agreed for a three-day ceasefire, however, a solution is still in doubt. Sanctions against Russia, a sword or a boomerang. The EU has adopted a new package of sanctions against Russia, targeting key sectors of the economy and expanding the list of entities it considers responsible for the crisis in Ukraine. The move was followed by similar steps taken by the US. Experts warn that sanctions can badly hit Western businesses too. And also, is America ready for Hillary? The new CNN poll made public this week revealed that former State Secretary Hillary Clinton has every chance to be elected a new U.S. president in 2016 if she decides to run. The survey showed that if election was held today, Hillary Clinton would have easily beat Mitt Romney, who is seen as likely presidential hopeful for the Republicans. So let us come to our first section beyond the headlines to address the ongoing Gaza carnage with no quick solution in sight despite growing international pressure on the sides of the conflict to end hostilities and enter into a negotiating process. The hopes for a quick solution faded earlier this week with Prime Minister Netanyahu calling on the nation to be prepared for a prolonged military campaign in Gaza, although both sides have agreed to a three-day ceasefire.
Yes, but at the same time, as we know, hope never dies. And this is what we've seen by the end of the week, Julia, when both sides agreed for humanitarian ceasefire. All of us understand that this is not a solution. Prime Minister Netanyahu is very determined to crush the infrastructure of terror. But at least, apart from this ceasefire, we've seen some sort of a diplomatic initiative. I'm referring to that talks, which are slated for the end of the week in Egyptian capital Cairo, between Palestinian authorities and Israeli sides, while Hamas is not present. It seems that probably we can expect something more than just a ceasefire. Because everybody understands the death toll of the conflict is mounting. Obviously, Israel is losing information war. Palestinians on the verge of humanitarian catastrophe. This is something which can drag Middle East into another big conflict.
Let's talk to Uzi Rabi, who's the director of Moshe Dayan Center of Middle East Studies. Mr. Rabi, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Of course, we've heard that by the end of this week that both sides have agreed to a 72-hour ceasefire. How likely is Israel to stick to this ceasefire, do you think? And, of course, how does Israel see a solution in this conflict?
Well, Israel actually will stick to the ceasefire. The question is whether Hamas is going to stick to the ceasefire. Let me just remind you that this is actually the sixth in a row time when we have kind of a humanitarian, so to speak, ceasefire, and Hamas is violating that. What I think was understood by everybody is that Israel cannot actually pull out of Gaza without demolishing the tunnels. So I guess that 72 hours actually will provide Israel with the opportunity to demolish tunnels and then, I guess, pull out, hoping that Hamas will not shoot rockets and other stuff at Israel. So basically, it's kind of an interregnum. It's a humanitarian ceasefire. And in Cairo, the different parties will try to tailor what we call kind of a more constant and stable ceasefire agreement. But it remains to be seen because the diplomatic machinery there is very complicated. It's not only Israel versus Hamas. It's Hamas versus Fatah. It's Hamas Gaza versus Khaled Mash'al. It's Egypt, which has its own agenda, Qatar and Turkey. So I'm not sure that we're going to have kind of a stable understanding and the memorandum of cooperation or ceasefire. We'll have to wait and see. But basically, it is important that parties are coming to Cairo. It is important that there is a ceasefire. Maybe this is a beginning for something different.
Red Line.
Mr. Rabi, you mentioned that demolition of infrastructure of tunnels, as Israeli Prime Minister puts this. So, at the same time, this week we've seen mounting international pressure on Israel. We've seen that strong-worded UN Security Council resolution. We've seen five Latin American countries calling off their ambassadors from Israel. Don't you think that probably this is an uphill battle for Israel to articulate its position and to explain that there's no option for Israel but to continue this fight?
Yeah, I agree with you, but basically Israel is very, very prudent and very, very cautious when it comes to humanitarian crisis in Gaza. But as you know, I guess, actually Hamas is using citizens in order to fire rockets. And this is part of his guerrilla and terror war against Israel. And, you know, when it comes to the international clock, so to speak, yes, I agree with you. It is very awkward to see how the world is capitalizing on that and attack Israel. While in Syria, let me remind you, just last week, 2,000 people were slaughtered by Bashar al-Assad, and nobody says nothing about that. So Israel is very cautious. Israel is afraid of a humanitarian crisis, trying not to get into that, but Hamas is dragging Israel into Gaza. And because of these complexities, because of the international public opinion, because we have tunnels, I guess that Israel at this stage decided to end up with the tunnels, pull out, and see actually what comes. Benjamin Netanyahu said quite clearly that if silence would be there or quiet would be there, it will be answered by quiet. We'll have to wait and see how Hamas is going to perform, because Hamas is not going to get what he thinks he can get in Cairo, and it remains to be seen how he's going to perform later on.
All right, thank you very much for your insight, Uzi Rabi, director of Moshe Dayan Center of Middle East Studies. Thank you very much.
Red Line.
And let's now move on to our next guest, Thomas Seifert, deputy editor-in-chief of Wiener Zeitung, a Viennese daily newspaper. Mr. Seifert, thank you very much for being with us.
Hello.
Well, Israel has come under a lot of international criticism, and also for criticism from the US and from Europe. What effect has this latest offensive had on the relationship, I guess, between Israel and the US and also Europe?
Well, the relationship, of course, it's not being helped by what's going on. You can definitely say that. And what also has happened is that there were a lot of protests in some European cities, and there was protests in, especially in France. Some of them, some people went out and attacked Jews. Some people went out and shouted anti-Semitic slogans. So you could also say that this is immediately tied to anti-Semitism on the one hand. That is, of course, also quite disturbing. You had anti-Semitic protests in France, and the French president went out to religious leaders and called the meetings and so on to calm the situation. So I think that is one thing that is has to be taken into consideration, that there is, especially the community from Muslim countries that migrated to Europe, where that is fired up by what's going on, and that this gets these overtones.
Mr. Seifert, if we look at the position of policymakers, can we say that Europe is not taking side in the conflict, so it is neither pro-Israeli or pro-Palestinian?
I think people are quite frustrated by what's going on. And that is also, of course, the case, because what a lot of people in Europe see is pictures of children, pictures of civilians being wounded, being killed in Gaza. And that is the other side of the whole conflict. So there is a sense of helplessness, to be honest with you. There's a sense of helplessness because I think that most people believe that we all know what a solution in the Middle East would look like. And that would be a peace plan that has been hammered out in Oslo with roughly following the 1967 borders between Israel and the Palestinians. And we all basically think we know what the solution would look like. And of course, we have these offensives every once in a while. And of course, the civilian death toll is just saddening. So what people think is that there is a sense of helplessness. There is a sense of grief of what's going on. And that is on both sides, because of course, if you put yourself in the shoes of the villagers of Sderot, who live under this constant threat of Hamas rockets, you don't want your children to grow up like this. If you put yourself in the shoes of family in Gaza that is living under constant fear of being targeted by bombs or by artillery or something that is going on in this offensive, also you don't want to live a life like that. So I think what people are waiting for is political solution. And that's what's needed, because, again, there is no military solution to this whole conflict. And we know what the end result would look like, and why do so many people have to die on the way getting there. So that is, I think, also what's going on. So I'm taking sides, as I said before, is quite problematic, because which side is right? I mean, do you have the answer on that? I mean, both sides have legitimate claims, but, of course, the methods that are being used on both sides are also, I would say, not really very constructive, to put it mildly.
Red Line.
Thank you very much. Let's just move on to our next guest, Greta Duisberg, who's a stop occupation activist, and also this is a Dutch NGO, and she's a chairperson. Thank you very much, Ms. Duisberg, for being with us.
Yes.
Let's just look into this, the other side of fighting in Gaza. Who exactly is this Hamas, and why are they even among civilians in Gaza?
And I don't agree with the speaker before, because I don't talk about a conflict. This is really war. Israel has always, even if they withdraw from Gaza in 2009, they kept the borders closed. They have suppressed the Gazan people. And Gaza is a very small strip, and it has 1.8 million people living there. And Israel is talking lies, because America's unstinting support for Israel is a key reason why the assault on Gaza continues unabated. And it goes on, it goes on. So Israel says the Gaza Strip isn't occupied. The Gaza Strip is occupied. Absolutely. And I've been there many times. It's very difficult for the people to go out. It's not possible to have medical aid, medical support. It's not possible to rebuild all the other buildings who are destroyed by Israel in previous wars. So it's absolutely terrible. Incredible shame that it's clear that the international community is not doing protection at the moment, even in the cases of attempted genocide. It's not attempted genocide. It is genocide. The civilized world loves sanctions, especially to Russia now. You can see that after what happened with that plane. And as long as they are not against Israel, but they hate protection, if against Israel's aggression. So the slaughter of women and children in Gaza is set to accelerate while the great powers stand aside. And what we need is to be very critical on Israel. And they should follow the resolutions. We have to go to the Security Council. We have to punish them. We have to bring them to the General Court of Justice.
Thank you very much to our guest, Greta Duisberg, Stop Occupation NGO. She's chairperson there. And also thank you to Thomas Seifer, Deputy Editor-in-Chief of the Wiener Zeitung. Thank you to all of our guests for being with us. And still to come in our program, sanctions against Russia, a sword or a boomerang. The EU has adopted a new package of sanctions against Russia, targeting key sectors of the economy and expanding the list of entities it considers responsible for the crisis in Ukraine. The move was followed by similar steps taken by the US, but experts warn that sanctions could badly hit Western businesses as well. And also, is America ready for Hillary? The new CNN poll made public this week revealed that former State Secretary Hillary Clinton has every chance to be elected the new president of the US in 2016 if she decides to run. Stay with us.